Chapter 35. The purpose of the Jupiter Fountains was still beyond understanding. Friedlander had a constant headache from trying to referee disagreements between groups of scientists. At least he was able to get some sleep. There wasn't any need for him to watch the events 24 hours a day. The four enemy warships continued to orbit Jupiter, and the fountains continued to steadily pump atmosphere up and away from the planet. On the display, false color images showed the streams merging into one long, wispy river that curled away from the giant planet's gravity well. No one had any idea why the Maxulks had dropped the fountain into Jupiter. No one had any realistic, sensible idea. There were plenty of theories bouncing around, especially after the news was released to the public. The stream of gas leaving Jupiter was now so large it could be seen by some amateur telescopes on the ground. Tired of listening to very smart, very educated scientists arguing about dumb things, he wandered out of the main conference room to a spot near a window where he could get a signal on his phone. In 10 minutes, he was supposed to call his wife, the one part of the day he looked forward to. To kill 10 minutes, he played a puzzle on his phone and walked over to a water fountain to get a drink. The knob resisted his thumb and came on full, sending a jet of water splashing against his cheek. Wiping away the water before it ran down and soaked his shirt collar, he experimented with the knob. The mechanism must be broken. The water was either off or shooting high into the air to splash partly on the floor. Fascinated, he played with the knob, sending pulses of water arcing away from the nozzle. Turning, he ran back down the hallway to his desk where he opened his laptop. Early on, someone had projected forward the path of the gas stream, speculating that it might be aimed at Earth. It was not. Unfortunately, that line of inquiry ended there, rather than continuing to determine where the gas stream was going, if not to Earth. Adjusting the parameters of the program, he ran the model forward 2 months, 6 months, a year, then 5 years. "Oh, shit," he groaned. "Doctor?" Chang looked up from his desk, waving the scientist into the office. "You could have called if you wanted to. I need to show you." Friedlander walked behind the desk to stand next to Chang, opening his laptop. "Watch this." The graphic showed the solar system as viewed from above, with Jupiter's orbit at the far edge. The stream of gas curled inward toward the sun, arcing around gracefully, and eventually settling into a crescent shape. "You see the problem?" Friedlander asked, then answered before Chang could respond. "The stream will pass between Earth and the sun." "So? It..." "Oh, yes. But it's just gas. It's thin," Chang protested. "You can see right through it." "It's thick enough. We estimate..." "We?" "I contacted a group of climatologists. Don't worry, I told them this was a hypothetical." "Doctor," Chang groaned, "they are smart. They know what is happening at Jupiter. They will understand why you asked the question. Next time, please go through my office. Kong, you asked me to get answers." "Fair enough," the Undersecretary for Homeworld Security sighed. "What did you find?" "We're facing an ice age. Technically, an artificially induced glaciation." Chang cocked his head. "An ice age? Doctor, seriously, how could..." "Climate is a delicate balance. The gas stream will affect Earth for at least 46 years before the solar wind blows the gas past Earth's orbit. The result will be cutting the amount of sunlight reaching the surface by up to 1.7%. I know that doesn't sound like much, but it is enough to tip us into an ice age. Increased snowfall leads to large areas of North America and Eurasia covered with snow and ice that reflects sunlight back into space. That disrupts the polar vortex, sending it down to rotate over lower latitudes. Cooler and shorter summers mean the ice doesn't melt as much each year. It's a positive feedback loop, reinforcing the cooling effect." "I will need to see the data. Of course, it's not my specialty either." 46 years? "That's our best estimate. The drop in sunlight will be worse beginning in 2 years and lasting 12 years. By that point, the glaciation effect will be established and gaining momentum." "No," Chang shook his head. "You misunderstand my question. why would the effect dissipate at all? The fountains will continue to pump atmosphere away from Jupiter. The effect should get worse or remain stable, shouldn't it? We think it won't. The Maxalts don't intend to freeze Earth into a solid ball of ice. The fountains will cut off at some point when the Maxalts have achieved their goal. Already, the output of the fountains is down 3% from the maximum. That decrease has been accelerating at a predictable pace over the past 17 hours. If the trend continues, the fountains will cease operation in 27 days. Assuming that is true, what would the Maxalts accomplish?
The climate people have to work on it.
According to their models now, within 14 years the Northern Hemisphere will not have a summer. Snowpack will remain year-round on a line extending south of Chicago in the U.S., likely covering Beijing in China. Most of Europe will be protected by warm waters of the Gulf Stream, unless the thermohaline circulation of the oceans is disrupted.
Thermohaline?
You really need to talk with the climate people about this. The Gulf Stream is warm water in a relatively thin layer on the surface. When it gets to the North Atlantic, around Greenland, it meets the Labrador Current. The surface water cools, becomes denser, and sinks to the ocean floor. It's sort of a pump that keeps ocean currents circulating, something like that. I am oversimplifying the subject. Friedlander shrugged. Kong, this is all speculation. We don't know what the full effects will be. Chang sat back in his chair.
No, but the Maxalts do. They have more advanced science than we have, better knowledge of our own planet than even we do. They would not have gone through the trouble of dropping fountains into Jupiter unless it had a major effect on us. Snow in Beijing during the summer,
According to several of the models, yes. There are a lot of variables to consider. We won't know. It doesn't matter. The Maxalts intend to hurt us badly, crush the global economy. Crop failures will lead to famine. Famine leads to war. He looked at the American engineer, suddenly aware their different national interests might yet again be important.
Society will collapse. We won't be able to fight back out there. We will need all our resources here. But we will be alive. They hurt us just enough to take us out of the equation, not enough so we trigger our elder weapons.
Survival. We will survive. Nothing more.
They hurt us so we can't hurt them?
That's part of it, yes. I suspect it is just as important to the Maxalts that they make us look weak. No species will seek an alliance with us now. We are on our own. The power balance in the galaxy goes back to where it was before humans entered the game.
Doctor, I need a full briefing on the subject before I take this information to the UNEF Joint Chiefs.
And, he told himself, before he informed Beijing first. If Friedlander was right, every country would soon be concentrating resources to protect their own citizens with no ability or desire to assist others. The situation could get ugly quickly.
How soon until we see the effect?
7 months. The effect will become noticeable within 2 years.
Kong, this scares the shit out of me. Even Skippy can't fix this.
How do you fight a cloud of gas?
I don't know if we can.
You are the scientist. Is there anything we can do?
There are many possible solutions.
Friedlander shrugged.
Spraying soot on snowpack so it is less reflective.
Spraying soot across a continent?
I didn't say all the ideas were practical. We could launch mirrors into space to reflect more sunlight on the Earth.
I think we must assume the Maxalts would destroy those mirrors.
Okay. Well, ironically, we could pump greenhouse gases like methane into the atmosphere, but we don't know what that will do. This is a hell of a time to try a climate experiment.
You hit on the biggest problem, the food supply. Major crop-growing areas of the world will be covered with snow or too cool for growing crops that used to thrive there. Rainfall patterns could be disrupted also. Cooler air holds less water vapor. That could lead to drought in areas not covered by snowpack. Or we could see,
Doctor, I get the picture. It is grim.
Does your team agree with your findings?
Yes, he said with mild surprise.
Getting a group of astrophysicists to agree on anything was a miracle.
Largely, yes. There's disagreement about the details. How the clouds will be affected by the solar wind, how much they will break apart as they pass by Earth's gravity well. There is consensus that it will certainly reduce the amount of sunlight reaching Earth, reduce it by a significant amount for at least several decades.
What? He asked when he saw the faraway look in Chang's eyes.
I was thinking, what would Bishop do?
Do you have that on a t-shirt?
What?
You know, WWBD.
Oh, no shirt. I should get some printed.
We could ask Bishop when he gets here, Friedlander suggested hopefully.
Slowly, Chang shook his head.
I suspect the entire Maxalk's fleet is hunting for Valkyrie. If Bishop and Skippy have been captured, I do not believe we can look for help from them.
Well, the rocket scientist took a breath. I got nothing.
Despite the circumstances, one side of Chang's mouth curled up in a brief smile.
I do know what Bishop would say if he were here now.
What's that?
Well, shit.
The Rindaloo cruiser Sword of Anacleon emerged in a burst of gamma rays that were barely detectable. The ship's jump drive coils assembly was surrounded by a field that absorbed most of the gamma rays and channeled the photons into energy sinks buried beneath the armor plating of the hull. Unlike the technology of their ancient enemies, which merely focused the gamma rays in one direction, Rindaloo ships emitted only low levels of infrared radiation when they entered or emerged from a jump through space-time, an unavoidable effect of the shields heating up as they absorbed the gamma rays. The Sword of Anacleon emerged just beyond the orbital radius of the outermost planet, almost directly above the star. The ship's crew knew the star system itself was so boring it would put even the most curious scientist to sleep. They did not care about a brown dwarf star and a few nameless planets. What they expected to find were a cluster of obsolete Jarapatha starships that had supposedly been stolen by persons unknown. Even by the standards of the Ethics and Compliance Office, that lie was particularly bold for its transparency. The Rindaloo were unhappy that their clients continued to make deals with the humans, and they were insulted that the Jarapatha had not put any effort into cooking up a more plausible story. Perhaps the ECO simply did not have time to throw together a cover story. But it felt like disrespect, and disrespect had to be punished. Stopping the transfer of obsolete starships was not the goal of the Anacleon's crew. That cruiser and the other warships waiting with the star carrier instead wanted to know where those ships were going. The humans were rumored to have a secure base somewhere in the galaxy, and while the Rindaloo had a solid guess about the location of that base, they didn't know for certain. More important than where their base was, they wanted to know how the humans attained access to the secure star system. If they could learn the secret of manipulating wormholes, the balance of power in the galaxy would be permanently altered in their favor. What the Anacleon's crew and AI expected to see was a cluster of Jarapatha starships, possibly accompanied by a few human ships. Most likely, they would detect only residual radiation from multiple ships jumping away after the humans arrived at the rendezvous point. In that case, the cruiser would jump farther and farther away until it directly detected the gamma rays of the actual jump wormholes. Once the timing of the event was established, the cruiser would jump back to the star carrier to bring in the other five ships to conduct a detailed search. They wanted to know where the Jarapatha ships had jumped to so they could follow. Trying to pinpoint the destination of one or a few ships jumping so long after the event was futile, even for Rindaloo technology. But when 20 or more ships jumped, especially with old and obsolete drives, enough information would be provided by the residual resonances to make their destination clear. Prepared to listen for faint echoes of resonance, the sensors of the Anacleon were deafened by the blast of photons coming in from the star system, shocking in both volume and source. Maxalk's ships. More than 1,000 Maxalk's warships and support vessels making no attempt to conceal their activities. In addition to ships flying around, there was radiation and debris indicating a major battle had been fought in the star system. A battle between the Maxalk's and who? Repeated jumps farther and farther away from the site of the battle, seeing light from further and further back in time, revealed the battle, as if the Anacleon was seeing the events in real time. The ghost ship, the battlecruiser now known to be controlled by humans, had jumped into an ambush. Just as it was about to succumb to intense enemy fire, the battlecruiser simply stopped, dead in space. Then, nanoseconds after it passed beyond the enemy damping fields, the ship called Valkyrie disappeared in a ragged burst of gamma rays. For a short time, while they analyzed the data to understand how the hell an entire starship could ignore the laws of physics, the crew of the Anacleon shuddered with relief that the human ship had escaped the ambush. Then, the Valkyrie reappeared near an ice giant planet. There was a brief battle, and the battlecruiser deliberately descended into the dense layer of clouds. The purpose of the battle became clear. Horrifyingly clear. The Maxalks intended to capture the Elder AI, force it to do their bidding. Once again, the cruiser slipped away through a tear in space-time, back to the waiting star carrier. Rather than releasing the other ships to scan for residual jump resonance, the star carrier performed an emergency separation, ejecting its burden so it could travel faster. The star carrier had a new mission. It needed to summon a war fleet.
Joe, if I tell you something, will you promise not to freak out and overreact?
Giving him an honest answer required me to think about it for a moment. I was in my office, with not much to do other than fear that my stupidity had doomed my ship.
Geez, Skippy, it kinda depends on what you tell me.
Okay, then forget I said anything.
Whoa, hold on there.
I leaned across the desk to glare at his avatar.
No way do you get to tease me like that, tell me.
It's really better that I don't. I'll decide if you're right or not after you tell me.
You know how you said that people are supposed to protect their friends, especially if their friend is a knucklehead?
I am a knucklehead sometimes.
Wow. Good for you, Joe. The first step in dealing with a problem is admitting you have...
I am also the captain of this ship. I need to know whatever it is you know, so tell me.
Maybe I don't feel like telling you, he sniffed.
Maybe I will make that a direct order. What do you know?
Technically, I don't know anything. I suspect that...
Tell me!
Okay. Don't say I didn't warn you. There might have been a Rindaloo ship in this system.
I slumped in the chair.
Crap.
When? Like they surveyed this place 1,000 years ago and forgot about it?
No, 4 days ago.
4 days?
When the hell were you going to...
See? This is what I meant by overreacting.
Might. There might have been a Rindaloo ship here.
Briefly. Calm, cool, and professional, I reminded myself. The captain of a ship, the leader of any organization must be calm, cool, and professional. What I wanted to do was wrap my hands around his avatar's neck. What I needed to do was coax information out of him.
Might. Sorry. I understand now why you were reluctant to tell me. How about I shut up while you explain?
Okay. He was surprised.
I am only telling you this now because I just now learned about it.
He paused.
Go on.
Oh, I was expecting you to ask a stupid question.
Any question I could ask at this point would be stupid, so please continue.
He didn't know how to react when I refused to banter with him. You know how Rindaloo ships are difficult to detect when they jump?
You mentioned that, yes.
The technique for detecting spider ships was different from the standard procedure. That technique was part of the training for our pilots and anyone who qualified to operate the ship's sensor suite.
The radiation is in the infrared range, right?
Correct. It is also faint. You have to be looking for it. The stupid kitties upstairs were not looking for it. Their sensors were tuned to search for regular gamma rays. 4 days ago, the sensors of multiple ships on patrol at the far edge of the system picked up an anomaly in the infrared band, but they didn't realize it. I only know because I collated data from more than 36 ships. Ironically, if the kitties did not have their ships set for cyber-secure conditions, their computers would have been networked together, and they might have detected the infrared pulse.
That is interesting. Their procedures to defend against the Rindaloo actually make it more difficult for them to detect and fight the spiders.
We need to remember that, I muttered softly, encouraging him to keep talking.
Good point.
So,
When my malware got established aboard the enemy fleet up there, I got access to their sensor logs and I just finished reviewing it. The data is incomplete, of course. Of course. I know it's not fair to ask you to guess, but if you had to guess, sucking up to him was making me nauseous. You think this anomaly was a spider ship? Yes, it could be. If a spider ship was there, the anomaly I saw was the ship jumping away. Logically, it must have jumped in before that, but I can't find any sign of it in the Maxalt's sensor logs. Stupid kitties. What kind of shmaybe can you give me, your level of confidence? Considering how freaking clueless the kitties are, it's a miracle I detected anything at all. If they saw anything, they probably think it is background radiation. I get that. It's yet another example of your awesomeness. My patience with sucking up was wearing thin. All I'm saying is don't get your hopes up. I mean, if the spiders jumped in, they must have seen what is going on here, right? Why haven't they confronted the kitties? One ship can't do anything useful. All right. I sat back in the chair to stare at the ceiling. Assume that ship went to call for reinforcements. What's the minimum time it would take to bring a spider fleet here? Well, the closest Rindaloo base is... No, you asked about time, not distance, he muttered. With zero turnaround time, the spiders could get here in 9 days, so 5 days from now. Zero turnaround time is not realistic, I considered. Even if a fleet was ready for deployment, it takes time to analyze the data and make a decision. True. Joe, there is also another issue. Outside the core systems that are too far from here to be of help, no single Rindaloo fleet base has enough ships to take on the Maxalt's ships here. They would need... let me think about this. The spiders would need to bring in at least 3 task forces to be reasonably assured of a fair fight. Minimum time to notify those task forces, and... flight time here... He was muttering to himself. 16 days. Minimum. Yeah, that's not going to happen. The spiders never make a decision when they can avoid making one, right? That reputation is not entirely accurate, Joe, he advised. Mostly it applies to their senior policymakers. Their fleet commanders, those who actually control and fly warships, tend to be younger and more aggressive. We may be in luck there. How do you figure that? Because the spiders would have to be suicidally blind not to see the threat to them if the Maxalts get control of me. They have to move fast. 16 days, huh? Minimum, he cautioned. I heard that, yeah. Okay. Unlike my previous foolproof method of keeping distressing yet important information to myself, a method that had worked just wonderfully in the past, I told the senior staff about Skippy's probable sighting of a Rindaloo ship. If he was correct, that was good and surprising news. Good because it meant the spiders already knew what was going on with us, and that should shorten the time we had to wait for them to arrive. Surprising because it meant the spiders arrived very soon after we left a trail of breadcrumbs for them to follow. They must have had a major effort to hunt for information about the second group of ships to be transferred to us. Really, other than giving us a warm, fuzzy feeling that perhaps we didn't have to wait quite as long for the cavalry to arrive, hearing that a Rindaloo ship might have been here didn't change anything for us. We still had to wait. Until the Maxalts changed the rules. Again. Uh-oh, Joe, Skippy said. Only it wasn't Skippy in his usual Admiral's avatar. He was sitting on an enormous mushroom and he looked like a caterpillar or some sort of slug. He was also chewing on what looked like the world's largest Twizzler. What the hell was going on? Joe, he called. Joe, can you hear me? Yes, I don't want to hear you. Wake up, he shouted. I did. Huh. That explained the mushroom and Twizzler thing I'd been dreaming. What? I blinked at his usual avatar. What time is it? 01:45. Joe, we might have a problem. If we only might have a problem, can I go back to sleep? How about you decide after you hear what the problem is? Shit. Now that I was awake, I had to pee anyway. Crap. Okay, go ahead. Keep the lights off, please. There was still a hope that I could get back to sleep for another 3 hours. You know the kitties brought fleet support ships with them? That was a statement, not a question, but I knew what he meant. Yeah, sure. They can perform maintenance on their ships and stay here a long time, so?
So, over the past 2 days, the fabricators on those support ships have been very active, cranking out components continuously.
The Maxalts have deployed a fleet of tugs to mine asteroids for raw materials.
Maybe the Admiral,
I mumbled through a jaw-stretching yawn. Damn it, I do not think well when I'm sleepy.
Decided to remodel his bathroom or something.
Try to be serious, Joe. The kitties are constructing something out there.
That's it? They're constructing something?
I assume they are not making a birthday present for you, dum-dum. This could be very dangerous to us.
Can you just tell me what it is?
A picture is worth 1,000 words. You should look at it.
If I do, will you go away?
Sure.
Any notion of pleasantly drifting back to sleep was wiped away when I saw the whatever it was. What the hell is that?
I wish I knew for sure. Querying a database up there would risk exposing I have access to their systems and—
No, don't do that. Have you been able to intercept any comms about whatever those things are?
Sort of. There are references to platforms and a grid, but that's all I know. The kitties are keeping information about this project very tightly controlled. One particular frigate regularly jumps back and forth between the blockade and the support ships. It must be acting as a courier, physically carrying data back and forth. Joe, unfortunately, the kitties are being very careful with their information security.
Of course they are. They're afraid of you.
That wasn't something I said to suck up to him. It was the simple truth. Looking again at my tablet, I zoomed in the image to a point where it was too fuzzy to be helpful. 16 ships that Skippy identified as heavy cruisers had things attached to them. Some type of girders or framework surrounded the center of each ship. The frames were not thick or sturdy enough to support the mass of another ship, so they weren't some way to connect ships together. 16 ships had apparently been completed and were moving away from the cluster of support ships. A line of heavy cruisers was approaching, presumably to be fitted with the whatever the framework was. There was a long line of heavy cruisers of various classes. What caught my eye was the number. A total of 88 ships had been or were being modified, plus maybe more ships would jump in to join the line. What the hell were the kiddies doing out there?
Can you guess? I asked. That framework looks like antennas?
Good guess, Joe. That's what I think, too.
What kind of antenna?
You're not going to like this.
I will like it even less if it becomes a real problem and we could have done something about it.
Okay. He took a breath. Basically, I think those ships are intended to cluster together with antennas creating a sort of tractor beam between them.
Tractor beam? I laughed.
This isn't Star Trek.
I'm being serious, Joe. Call it whatever you want. It is a field that can be extended far from the ships and pull matter towards the antenna.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. You see why this could be a problem?
I hope I'm wrong about this.
If those ships were in orbit, how far down could that field reach?
To the ice layer?
But I don't think the ships will be in orbit. I think that if they are needed, they will descend down to our level, maybe deeper. If they do that, the tractor beam could extend far down into the ice.
Admiral Reichert was calling my bluff. He couldn't risk hitting Valkyrie while we were deep in the atmosphere because the ship might explode and Skippy could fall down deep into the ice toward the planet's core. But if he had a device that could dig into that ice and pull Skippy's canister up, then Valkyrie was toast. And there wasn't anything I could do about it.
Damn it!
I slapped the bed. A less emphatic gesture than I intended, and swung my legs onto the deck.
Will it work?
It is a technology the Maxalts use for mining. This is a highly unusual and large-scale adaptation of that tech. I really do not know if they can scale it up successfully.
How soon will they be ready?
To use the device or to test it?
Test it, right, I muttered to myself. They will want to test it first. Crap. Reichert will show the test results to me. Taunt me with them.
Joe, I can't guess the schedule for a test program. At the rate they are converting ships, they will have all 88 ships completed in 9 days.